Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
From the home of time.
It is now quite a day for local sport from your local team.
Woo! This is Charlton Live.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his home. Sweet song. Cheer up, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, love and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Games left to play, a 4-point cushion to 7th place. I'm buzzing to see how the football gods take this one away from us. So a very good evening to you and welcome to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. My name is Louis Mendes. I am very excited because we won 1-0 yesterday at Portsmouth. We've had a superb week if you think of the mood in the studio this time last week. Compare it to this time this week. It's 100% better. Joining me in the studio as we get ready to discuss yesterday's 1-0 wins, Tom Wallin. How are you doing, Tom?
Very, very good.
Yeah, enjoy yesterday?
I loved it.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Excellent. And the grand old man, Charlton Live, Terry Smith. How are you doing, Terry?
Me and Talisman Tom here. We're loving life.
Yeah, it was there because Tom's on a bit of a
Talisman Tom, they call him.
Yeah, I mean, they call him a lot of things. Talisman Tom.
Mostly worse than
is
that.
One of them. And also joining us in the studio this evening, we've got someone in on work experience, Adam Markey. Adam, how are you doing?
Good.
Yeah, did enjoy the fact that Charlton won again yesterday?
Of course.
Yeah, thinking we're definitely going to be in the playoffs at the end of the season.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Well, you can tell he's a Charlton fan, can't
you? Yeah.
The only thing I'm struggling with is that he's in here to experience work.
Well, yeah, I know.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I make it look like work, hard work sometimes. So just started with the cycling today, actually. It made it look like very hard work when Jim Dutton...
Don't get him talking about cycling.
That's it, we'll be done now. Yeah.
Donate for money, please. on tonight's show...
Or he'll talk about cycling.
On tonight's show, we are going to look back at yesterday's 1-0 win, a vital 1-0 win down at Portsmouth. We'll hear the highlights from the game. We'll... hear from Lee Bowyer, of course. Good long interview with Lee Bowyer yesterday. He was in good spirits, very proud of his team. Makes some bold claims, as he has been doing throughout the throughout the time he's been in charge. We also want to hear from you guys. Yesterday was a superb day. The performance from the fans was matched by the performance on the pitch. The supporters were absolutely superb yesterday. So if you were one of those 2,500 who made their way down to Fratton Park, let us know what you made of the day. You can email us, studio at charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. You can head over to the Charlton Life forum. There's a thread on there for tonight's show. Just before we finish the show as well, just because yesterday was such like a big game, big away attendance, and you know, somewhat surprisingly, considering our form in big away attendance games, we didn't bottle it. I was thinking, well, let's try and think of a list of big games with big away followings where we haven't bottled it, because there's got to be three or four. So if you can think of any of those as well, I'll be asking you for those later on in the show. Now, tell superb yesterday.
Let's go back a bit. After the three games that Lee Bowyer took us, after Lee Bowyer took charge, we were superb and showed a level of passion and commitment and footballing ability that hadn't been seen for a little while before that. And we thought, here we go. And then there was that one game against Bristol where it could have gone either way, slip up from Jason Pearce, and we had to come back from that, but we did. And then there was those two games where we just didn't turn up. And I think most Charlton fans were then thinking, well, we had our moment. We had the new manager bounce, and that's it. It's gone. You know, we're doomed to this division again. And then Shrewsbury happened. And then not just Shrewsbury happened, but straight after, Portsmouth happened. And that's two levels. I mean, if anybody was there, they'll witness this and they'll confirm it. The level of passion, commitment, and just sheer hard work that went into those two games just gives you just hope, because obviously we're all worried, as we're Charlton fans, that's it. We're going to blow out, and we won't have the stamina for the next five, hopefully. But I don't know. I'm not sure that's true. I think the way that they went about their business over the last two games just shows a different level of mentality that that surprised me a little bit, because I thought after the Wimbledon and the Scunthorpe games that that's it. We'd sort of had our shift at it. We had our tilt, and that was it. But and they've restored my faith. It was brilliant. And I think more than that, because the Shrewsbury, there was a decent following away from home. It's a long way to go on a Tuesday night. But that crowd on Saturday, anyway, just phenomenal. Yeah. To out-sing Portsmouth in their place is a tough ask.
Tom, 7 days ago, did you see this coming?
No, not at all. I mean, we were on the radio last Monday and I said that was it. We were done. And I did also say there was plenty of twists and turns left, and I wouldn't be surprised if we went on to win our last four games, and we're halfway there. But yeah, I can just only really echo what Tel said. Shrewsbury on Tuesday was unbelievable to pick out that performance. But for me, yesterday was even more impressive, because I thought Portsmouth actually gave us a little bit more in return. Not only was their crowd in the second half got up, I think we talk about the game in a bit more detail. Portsmouth were quite poor to start with, but second half they really grew into the game, and they put us under a lot of pressure for the final 15 minutes or so, and we weathered that. Whereas at Shrewsbury that didn't really happen. So two just unbelievable performances, and to be back in the playoffs and not quite there yet. As I say, there's probably another twist or two to come, but certainly in a very good position going into the final two games.
Excellent. Right, let's have a listen to the highlights. It was the unbeaten duo, or a good little run at least. I think you have lost at some point.
Unbeaten this season.
Fella, yeah.
Unless you count the one we lost on penalties in the Checker trade.
All right, come on, Jose. We are counting that.
Yeah. Fine. No, I'm not having that. Not Talisman Tom, they called him yesterday. It's official.
Right, let's have a listen to the highlights then. It's Terry Smith, Talisman Tom, down at Fratton Park. This is our 1-0 win over Portsmouth.
Oh, and he loses the ball, and Fosu can nip in for Charlton, and he's away here. Tariq Fosu, he's got a Jose to his left. A Jose in space in the penalty area, looks up, tries to find him again. Blocked cross from Thompson, back to a Jose, comes right to Cashy infield to Forster Cassidy, thinks about a shot here, takes it, deflected in a wide left of the post.
But Jose in the first instance corner. There, he's got to take another touch. He had plenty of space in the area to break in. Instead, tried to cross it in first time. There wasn't really anyone in there. Eventually came back out to Cashew, found Forster Kasky. I wanted him to shoot. I was willing him to shoot, and he did. Took a deflection off a Portsmouth player, and it's the first corner of the game for Charlton.
I don't think it was the best shot in the world. I think probably the keeper would have had it if it hadn't taken a deflection, so it might have done us a favour. And it's Forster Kasky with the corner over on the far side. Swing it in left-footed. Bowers there. He gets taken out in the penalty area, straight to his head, but the ball's still mucking about on the left-hand side now. Back to Forster-Kasky. Lovely touch. Takes a shot. It's just before McGuinness can get there. Thompson clears it away. Only as far as Fosu. Fosu fires a Jose to his left. Chips it back across. Looking for Bauer. And he's pushed him over.
Forster-Kasky's cross, where he slipped over, was a poor one. But Clark, in clearing it, cleared it back out for a Charlton throw. Halfway inside the Portsmouth half, over on that far side. It's taken by Konza. Konza whips in a lovely ball right footed. And Fosu's at the back post. Hits it first time. It's a brilliant block by Nathan Thompson. Oh, and then the Charlton player's gone down. No penalty given. Fosu still got it. Drags his shot wide. But his initial shot was brilliantly challenged by Thompson. Lewis Page went down in the area under the challenge of Lowe. Charlton fans wanted a penalty. It broke back to Fosu. Fosu dragged his shot wide.
Lewis Page was the one that met with Thompson. And Page is saying, it's trouble is it's obscured by that post.
Yeah.
So I couldn't really see. But Lewis Page was saying he got there first and he got the ball. And Thompson took him.
No
referee,
decision given.
6 minutes of normal time in this first half remaining. Still 0-0 here. And Charlton and Portsmouth really yet to create a goal scoring opportunity, I'd suggest.
I agree with that. It's been flicked on by McGuinness. Yes! And it's in! And out of nothing, Charlton are ahead. It was a long ball forward by Ben Amos, flicked on by Josh McGuinness. But Jose was away and left footed. Out came Luke McGee. And Jose slotted it past him into the open net. And as you say, a cagey start. I thought either team would be happy going in at 0-0. But out of nothing, Charlton have taken the lead, Terry.
Commentator's curse, as soon as I said there was nothing, no real chance made by either side. The long goal kick from Amos, flicked on by McGuinness. But Jose got the wrong side of his man, and a lovely left foot finish to the left-hand side of the keeper to give him no chance. A lovely striker's finish by Nicky Ajose to give Charlton the lead.
And we said in the build-up to the game, as a couple of flares go off in the away end, obviously ecstatic behind that goal, we did say before the game that there's a partnership that's been building, Ajose and McGuinness. They've maybe not got the goals yet that we've wanted them to, but their link-up play has been great. And in this game, again, it was a long ball forward. McGuinness flicked it on, and Ajose got round Watmo, who's looked out of his depth so far all this game. And Ajose coolly slotted it past the outrushing McGee and into the net. And Charlton won. The half-time whistle goes, and you might be able to hear the boos from the home fans. It's right to the edge of the six-yard box, and it's bounced off somebody, I think Clark, the central defender, right on the edge of the six-yard box. It seemed easier to score, but it's bounced harmlessly over Amos's bar.
Lewis Page trying to get there as the ball was fizzed across. Just missed his header, and it sort of hit Clark on the head and went over. If he'd have, he obviously didn't believe it was going to get to him, so he didn't meet it with any force or direction. And luckily for Charlton, just we were able to watch it over the bar.
Not sure I can cope with that for 45 minutes.
Swung in, and it's a dangerous one. McGuinness meets it superbly, but it's headed back in there by Donoghue. Headed up in the air. Lowe should be offside. Headed away. De Silva can't get there.
No, no, no.
It's Ronan. Shot. Lovely save by Amos. And Cashy clears the ball away.
Put in particularly over
the wall
last two games.
Back on the edge of the penalty area, which is Pittman. Straight. Hits it over the wall and tipped over the bar by Amos. He was going down to his right-hand side. I don't know if it took a deflection off the wall, but he had to adjust his body and managed to push the ball over the top of the crossbar.
Yeah, brilliant save from Ben Amos there. That looked goal-bound.
And Forster-Kaski take it to the corner. Still on the touchline. Still trying to squirm past his man.
Yeah!
It's the final whistle!
Yes!
Yes!
A huge, huge win.
Unbelievable scenes here at Fratton Park on the away end. More smoke flares. The Charlton players celebrating like they've just won an FA Cup final. And to a certain extent, that's exactly what it's been. Every game at this stage of the season is a cup final. And Charlton have just come over another hurdle.
Every game this season, the cup final, tell. Where's the trophy then?
it's a what do they call us?
Cliche.
No. it'll come to me, don't worry about it. Yeah. I'm too old for that nonsense.
So there we were, the highlights of Talisman Tom and Terry Smith of yesterday's superb 1-0 victory down on the south coast. Tom, we heard you panicking there in the second half.
Just a bit. Again, not as much as Shrewsbury,
yeah.
I think.
But I mean, it was a weird one. The second half actually went quite quickly for me, but I was still so nervous. I remember looking at you at one point with about 15 to go, and I was shaking my head, so I can't take this much longer.
No, I couldn't, and I had forgotten to set my my timer in the second half, so I couldn't see, so I had no idea how long was left.
Somebody else did that, stole mine.
Oh yeah, no, forgot about that. So
BBC types.
Yeah, but it's very like the Shrewsbury game. I mean, there were more chances for Portsmouth in this game, but when you look back, I mean, he had the save low down, and then the free kick from Pittman. But aside from that, they created a few chances, but actually they were over, or they were wide, or they were from distance. It was that long one from Naismith that he shanked wide. So, again, we defended pretty well all through the team. And when you look back at it, there's not too much to be nervous about. But obviously when you're a fan and you're in that position and you're 1-0 up and the game is important as yesterday's was, it's difficult to see that, obviously. But, yeah, looking back, it wasn't anywhere near as bad as I thought it was going to be.
And after the last, you know, when Charlton took the lead at Shrewsbury on Tuesday, it was 15 minutes left or so. And you know, as expected, Shrewsbury really came out and started to try and put us under pressure. But we stood up to it, you know, to a man.
We did, well, except Tom.
Yeah, except Tom. but then we've gone and done, so having done that for say 15 minutes on Tuesday, we've then had to go and do it again for an entire exactly. 45 minutes on.
There was
on
a
Saturday.
Point. There was a point yesterday afternoon when I took over commentator and I looked left, and Tom's got his head in his hands on the desk.
It's like half an hour left as well.
Because I think I said that, and I think that's why you did it. Yeah. You put his head on his desk and went, oh. God, I got part of half hour of this, but no, I think I agree with Tom. I think Portsmouth had a reputation at home, and I think we spoke to Brett, the analyst, before the game, and he was saying that Portsmouth will come at us hard for the first half, but normally then they start to tire, so we've got to withstand that in the first half. But Lee Bowyer obviously sent his men out to say, right, we've got to nullify that, and we were in their faces an atom every second in that first half, and they. I don't think they're used to that, and they're used to the crowd maybe getting on the opposition's back and them not liking it. We were in their faces, we silenced the crowd, and the amount of misplaced passes, especially from the back four yesterday from Portsmouth, I think they were just worried, and we worried them.
I mean, that's the thing that we all noticed. I think in that first half, I mean, you'd expect Charlton to, like you say, going away to a team that's got a bit of a reputation, very difficult place to go, very enclosed ground. It's a great ground down at Fratton Park, and they really get behind them. You'd expect us to look the team that looked nervous, but we looked so settled, and they were so all over the place. Misplaced passes, the crowd were booing quite quickly, getting frustrated quite quickly. They were, you know, not looking very good at all. And I think you put that down to the fact that Charlton were really, really at them from the off.
Yeah, we must have committed 3 or 4 fouls within the first 5 minutes, and they were maybe clever fouls, is that the way you'd say it? Because they were miles away from our own box, but they were just breaking up their play and slowing them down, and then as that first half wore on, as you say, their fans got on their back because they just got slower and slower and more nervous, and they were misplacing passes, as you say. The centre-back pairing, which we were talking to someone on the train home who was a Portsmouth fan, said that they've been kind of the reason that they've got good results in 2018 so far, but they were both pretty poor, I thought. We just got up and at them and in their faces and got the tackles in, made it difficult for them. The fans obviously enjoy big crunching tackles, and we every time we went forward we looked dangerous, but every time they went forward, I mean, they would get the ball in midfield and they just weren't spreading it out wide to Lowe and Naismith, who are arguably their most dangerous players, and as a result Pittman had nothing to do, so he started throwing a strop, and it all went wrong for them in the first half, but a lot of that was down to the hard work of the Charlton players.
Yeah, and I mean, the way we started as well, I wonder how much of that is down to the fact the fans were in early as well. I can't remember seeing that too often from a Charlton away end. Like, the fans were in early, they were singing loud from half an hour before kickoff, and you don't see that too often from us.
It was like they were on a mission, the fans yesterday. Mm-hmm. They knew what. I think everybody that went to Portsmouth yesterday, everybody was saying before the game, it's going to be a full house, the atmosphere is going to be intimidating, but this is what, as fans and players, you want to aspire to. You want to be playing these cauldron atmospheres and soak them up and be part of it. And I think the fans took that on board as well, because they went there and they were expecting perhaps to get outsung. So they went there with a sort of attitude, right, no, let's show them what we got. And the more they did, and then some.
Yeah, and what did you make of the team? I think it was three changes before the game. Cashy obviously coming back, Jose coming in up top. Who was the other one who was changed as well?
Well, you brought Reeves in.
Reeves, of course, yeah. Ben Reeves started as well. I mean, what did you make of the lineup? I mean, we know there's going to be a little bit of rotation and whatnot towards the end of the season. Do you think it's more tactical? Or?
Well, two were enforced because Mavididi and Aribo, not Aribo, Mavididi and Dicksteel were both hamstring strains or injuries, so they were enforced a little bit. But I think he might have changed it anyway, to be honest, with the Saturday Tuesday games we've been having. I think you do need some fresh legs, and one of the freshest was Ahmed Kashi, of course, and he came in and it was like he'd never stopped playing. It was brilliant. I mean, the first 10 minutes he put in 3 sliding tackles, missed every single one, mind.
Well, one of them was an absolute cruncher in the middle of the park as well, and I did miss those.
There was one where he actually took the bloke out with his backside. It was that late.
It was funny as well, because when he eventually got booked, which I think was the 80th minute, the ref did that thing of pointing around the pitch, but he only pointed to about 2 places. He could have pointed to about 50 different places.
Pointed to every blade of grass. That one. There was a really good sliding tackle from McGuinness in the second half as well, where he completely missed everything, but he went in really strong. And what did you make of Reeves coming back in as well? Because obviously he's really picked up under Lee Bowyer.
I thought Marshall was a bit unlucky to be dropped to the bench because I think he gives us something definitely in a defensive manner as well as going forward. But I think when the decision was played to play Cashy, I think the requirement for Marshall to come be on there and defend as deep as he as sometimes does wasn't there. So Reeves, therefore, is the natural replacement. And I thought he played great yesterday. Look, you can't pick out any player yesterday and say they didn't have a good game. Not one.
I thought Marshall looked good when he came on.
Absolutely.
He did some really good things.
I think the good thing about all that is that now players seem to be more content by being dropped or not playing because they know the pressures and they know what's at stake.
As that first half rolled on then, so we saw a Portsmouth team that looked shaky, looked nervous, were giving the ball away a lot and putting it out of play a lot. And you certainly felt that Charlton were breaking quite well, and you just think a couple of times the decision making was wrong. I think we saw one where a Jose was going down the left hand side and a heavy touch looking too wide. We tried to play it back into McGuinness. Yeah, a couple of times that, but you just got the impression that this was building and you know, you felt that a goal was going to come. We saw that great chance for Forster Caskey that was cleared off the line as well, which we heard in the commentary.
Yeah, I thought, well, look, we were the better team in the first half by quite some distance. And as I say, Portsmouth weren't really at it, but I put a lot of that down to Charlton's work. And we were, every time we went forward, we looked dangerous. And there were a couple of times where I think we almost had too much time in the final third and made the wrong decision there. But it was one of those games where I think we all knew up in the commentary box, and probably the fans knew as well, that second half Portsmouth were going to be improved. There was no way they could play like that again. So we had to make those chances count. And okay, it took 40 minutes, but eventually we did get our noses in front. But every chance that did go past, whether it was that long Forster Caskey one, whether it was the Fosu shot that he kind of dragged wide, whatever it was, every time I was thinking, we need to score one of these because, as I say, they are going to be improved in the second half and we need to make this dominance count.
Just before that chance for, well, we that one that Fosse dragged wide, I think in the build-up to that, there was a ball that came over and now Lewis Page went down in the penalty area. And it's just one of those ones, you just wonder if he might have been slightly clipped as he was running across, or did he know the player was coming and think, oh, I'm going to hit the ground here?
Well, we couldn't see it. Well, I couldn't see it. I don't know.
I've only ever seen it now since the replay.
The ball came up into the penalty box and Lewis Page jumped for it, and as did Thompson, I think it was the player, wasn't it? Now, Page was saying that, and the way Page fell, it looked like he'd been clipped. And what he was saying was that Thompson got to him before he got to the ball. But I couldn't see it because the post was in the way. So all I could see then was the ball going a different direction. So really, I haven't seen it since on the highlights. So, but Page was convinced that he was taken out.
I saw it earlier on the highlights and it looked close. Yeah, I'm surprised that there wasn't more made of it. Because in the highlights, again, Page protests a little bit, but then just kind of trots back to position. So I'm not sure, but it certainly, having seen it again, looked quite close.
Now, obviously, as we were building, I think we're all having that thought that Portsmouth have been really poor, but they're not going to be this poor for the whole game, so we need to find a chance and take it before the interval, and we did. I mean, the classic big man, little man combination. Terry was just moaning about how no one was having any chances and how the game was going to end as a 0-0. And then we scored about 13 seconds later.
You won't want me lottery numbers, will you?
No.
Well, it was true, though. I mean, we'd threatened a lot in that first half with actually not creating a great deal in terms of shots on goal or making the keeper work too often. So, I mean, what we had done successfully and a lot was make their two centre-halves turn, and they looked really uncomfortable when we turned them round. And McGuinness seemed to be getting to every ball, either with his head or his foot. So they were clearly concerned about the front two that we had. But as I said, to that point, we hadn't really done anything. And, we've been playing some lovely football on the floor. We've been pressurising Portsmouth. So it was Sod's law that the goal would come from a goal kick, wouldn't it? From a huge punt upfield.
But what a finish from Nicky Ojose. I mean, it's one of those ones where didn't have a second to think about it. We're just sort of talking about off air, like, turned, keepers out, slots it home. Classic striker.
I was going to say, and classic Ojose finish as well. That's what he's known for. It wasn't, it wasn't poacher edge of the 6-yard box, but it was just he had half a second and he stuck it away, and it was simple as that. And it was, as Tel just said, we were playing some nice football in that first half, and it's typical that it came from such a route one goal. But actually, okay, it was a long ball, but the long ball was directed straight to McGuinness. It wasn't just a hoof. McGuinness got his head to it, as he did all day, and flicked it on purposefully to Ojose. So there was no fortune about it at all. And then Watmar, again, trying to turn, Ojose got away from him well, and it was a brilliant finish. So, yes, it was slightly Route 1, but it was a brilliant goal.
Now, mate, that is his first Charlton goal in 487 days. The last one he scored was away at Millwall in that 3-1 loss just before Christmas in 2016. Yeah. Now, you know, I felt since he's come back in under Bowyer, he's looked like a new player again.
I think he's found a reason to play. I think he's proven a point. He wants to prove a point, and that's showing. And isn't that the classic Charlton player, to get somebody in who's desperate to prove a point, and so everybody wins as a result of that. And I think he's showing that. And I think, you know, he gets angry when he gets taken off, and you know, that's great. I don't want people to be happy when I get taken off, as long as that doesn't sort of filter into the dressing room afterwards. You know what I mean? So, but the finish was sublime, and it's not just the fact that he got there first, not just the fact that he shot straight away. You see, he cut it back across the goal, so he came. Almost from the way he came, from the way the keeper was coming. The keeper was clearly expecting him to go to his right. He didn't cut it back across the other way, which is the most difficult one to save. Superb goal. And and I think he's deserved that as well.
Yeah, it's interesting how we've seen two strikers combine him, because obviously that hasn't been an opportunity we've had while we're playing one up top for a lot of the
season.
Well,
we wouldn't have scored that goal 5 months ago, or 5 weeks ago, would we? Yeah. We just wouldn't, because McGuinness would have flicked it on to absolutely no one.
Yeah,
which he did a lot.
Yeah, he did actually, yeah. The McGuinness and the Jose partnership in particular, obviously we had it for a little while under Russell Slade, but even Slade tended to only play one up top with Jose more in a wing position. So, you know, do you think those two could get a run of games together, could really start to build a proper partnership?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, I said in commentary that they'd been building a partnership for a while, but obviously was thinking of Jairo, not McGuinness. But a Jose with a taller, bigger, more imposing striker so far since Bowyer's come in has worked really well. And McGuinness and Jairo, I mean, they're not like for like, but they offer similar sort of threats in the air. And he seems to be feeding off that. And as what I meant to say in the commentary was that him and Jairo have built up a brilliant partnership. And now McGuinness has slotted into the taller role, if you like, in the number nine spot. And he seems to be feeding off him as well. And that's what he needs. And that's what McGuinness needed as well, to be fair to him. Because as we both said, he was previously getting those knockdowns and winning those headers. It's just there was no one around him.
Mark Chalice has just sent us in a wonderful photo of Sebo celebrating the win yesterday. just retweeted. Right, so we got to the interview. I think Portsmouth had a header at goal just before half time, which was notable as their first real effort on goal, and it's very easy for Ben Amos. But as we've already said, we're all sitting there thinking, like, there's no way they're going to come out second half like that, you know, because we know that, you know, Kenny Jackett's a good manager, and Portsmouth are a decent team. We saw him play well here at the Valley. And we knew they were going to come out fired up, and sure enough, they did. And they had that chance header early on for, I think it was Clark who headed it just over from the free kick.
What they did beginning of the second half, they brought two subs on, Burgess and O'Keefe. Took off Watmore, who had been having a mare at centre half, and Thompson, who I think had been injured anyway. But what that did, and they shuffled
apparently
it around.
Watmore was as well.
Oh, was he?
Apparently.
But it worked for him, because O'Keefe was much better on the floor. He moved the ball quicker, as did O'Keefe, and they were just moving the ball quicker and out wide a lot more, quicker than they had before. And that meant we were chasing shadows a little bit, whereas the pressure we were putting on them in the first half meant that they were going backwards or putting the ball out for a throw or giving it straight to us. As at this occasion, they were finding the men a lot better and putting us under a bit more pressure.
But then we just as we were thinking, like, big 45 coming up here, they've started quite well. There was just this great chance for us to finish it off, to get that little bit of daylight where Fosu was just about to burst for on goal, and you knew he was going to score, but then Hammy went, and I thought, oh god, that's going to be the turning point of this game. But I mean, in terms of him for the rest of the season now, we're all riding on a high, but I mean, Bowyer didn't sound too confident about him, and I do wonder if we'll get to see much of him between now and the end of the season with a hamstring injury.
Yeah, it's worrying. I mean, the positive is that the likes of Marshall have come off the bench and done very well, but obviously Fosu's that player that you want. He can just make something out of nothing in any game when it's perhaps not going our way. Obviously, the last two games have, for the majority, gone our way. So, yeah, when he first went down, we thought it was his hamstring. Then we wondered if it was cramp, the way they were stretching him, and he obviously tried to run it off and couldn't. After the game, as you say, it sounds a little more concerning. But, yeah, I mean, he's such a massive player for us that he's not one that we can really afford to lose for the final, what hopefully will be 5 games of the season.
Yeah, they had a good succession of corners, didn't they, Pompey? As that first half was starting to mature before Fosu actually went off. We still looked like a reasonable threat though at the other end. I mean, we had that Ben Reeves shot that hit the base of the post, and you know, you were spending the whole time thinking, oh, we desperately want that second goal just to find that little bit of daylight.
True, I agree, but I think the all those tweets coming in. what struck me yesterday was that yes, Portsmouth were at us a lot more, but I still was. And I don't know if this was just me, but I wasn't overly concerned because if Pittman don't score, Portsmouth don't tend to score. And Pearce had dealt with Pittman superbly most of the game. Mm. He had a couple of half chances, but nothing more than that. And I think when they missed that header from the corner, where the centre half put it straight over the bar, when he should have scored, absolutely should have scored. I started to think they're not going to score today. I was more concerned at Shrewsbury than I was before we got the second one than I was yesterday. Mm. If I'm honest,
there was a great bit where Pittman actually tried to dive, didn't he, just outside the area, and then Konsa did nothing. Then Konsa walked over to get the ball for the throw-in, and Pittman decided to grab him and start like wrestling with him. And Konsa's like, "What are you doing?" And just like completely ignored him. That's when I thought, right, we've got some cool heads out on that pitch now.
You know what he was trying to do, Pittman? He was trying to stop himself getting booked because he knew what he'd done. And he was grabbed Konsa and he was laughing and joking to make it look like, oh, it was all a bit of a joke and a play act. Do you know what I mean? That's why he did it. Yeah. And Konsa, you're right, Konsa just looked, what are you doing?
the last 20 minutes, I'm trying to think, like, I'm still trying to look for chances that they had. I mean, Pittman had a header that was quite easy, fairly routine for Amos. Now, that free kick. Actually, before that, they had that one that fell to the fella in the area, didn't they? I forget his name, Ronan. I think it was
Ronan,
yeah. And that was probably their best chance of the game, I guess, other than the header early on in the second half.
Yeah, they had a couple of... I mean, there was one particular shot. I'm trying to think who it was, wasn't it? Was it Naismith? No, I'm trying to think who... No, Jamal Lowe, wasn't it? Who was through on goal, and it was dropping onto his right foot, and you think he's going to hit this, and where could this go? And for some reason, best known to himself, he tried to hit it with his left.
It was Naismith.
Yeah. It was still about 35 yards from goal. Yeah, right. He had a 3-on-2. Yeah. Exactly, it's just a bizarre effort. He dragged it far wide.
Nearly hit the corner flag.
Yeah, that's when you knew they were sort of losing their heads. Now, finally, I mean, they had that free kick that Pittman there. Now, we were discussing whether it took a deflection or not off the wall, because Amos dived and it was a decent save, but it looked a bit awkward at the same time.
He had to readjust himself. Yeah. I thought it must have taken a deflection. And that's what everybody said after the game as well. But I've watched it back and I still can't tell. I don't know whether Amos just dived too soon.
It looked like he dived like past it and then had to come back.
What a reaction to get his body back and to scoop that over the bar.
So 6 minutes of added time.
Of course.
Yeah, again, I mean, even then we knew that was going to be longer because Amos was lying down at the start of it. So I'm a big fan of just not doing that anymore. Just play the 6 minutes and get it done with. But we saw it out. Superb win. Plymouth losing up at Northampton helps as well. A surprise result. You wouldn't have guessed that, would you? Yeah, exactly. Especially how bad Northampton were against us. So all in all, pretty good day. Quite enjoyed that.
Yeah, yeah. And when you look at the table at the end, which I refused to look at it until the final whistle had blown, Portsmouth, I think, are 5 points behind us now with a potential 6 to get. So the chance of them overtaking us is still possible, but very slim.
Their goal difference is 20 worse than ours.
So,
oh no, sorry, 7. I was reading Rotherham and got above myself. 7
so
worse than ours.
You'd think now that there's two places for three teams. Yeah. It's Plymouth, Scunthorpe and us. And it's, at the moment, we're leading that pack, but there are games in hand for those two. But they've got to play each other. So, as I say, there are still more twists and turns. I think, personally, and I've said it for a while now, 70 points would get there. So either two draws or one win from the final two games would do it. It was just such a satisfying win yesterday. And obviously, when that whistle goes, you're not thinking about any of that. You're just thinking about Wembley.
Yeah. Now, Adam, obviously, we were at the game, so we saw what was going on. But how antagonising was it that last 45 minutes while you're at home waiting for the result to come in?
It was horrible, really. Just watching Twitter, hoping that the result will come through.
Yeah. And in terms of our playoff place now, I mean, how confident do you feel going into this remaining two games? Because there's still games in hand for those teams below us, aren't there?
I'm confident. If we can beat Rotherham, we can beat Blackburn.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. So, and the sort of impact that Bowyer's had in the time he's been here as well, it does make you believe that you've got a better chance than, say, we did in the last couple of months under Robinson.
Definitely.
Yeah.
big fan of Lee Boyer.
Yeah.
Wasn't a big fan of Carl Robinson.
No.
Happy when he left, not going to lie to you.
There's quite a few people that left. We got a tweet in from Dan, actually, which said, why didn't we get rid of Robinson sooner? We would be comfortably in the playoffs now. Plus, the amount of chances we were creating earlier in the season of Jose, I'm sure, would have put most of them away. So Adam's not the only one who's quite glad to see the back of Carl Robinson, especially judging by the tweets we get in every week. Now, the man who replaced Carl Robinson is, of course, the caretaker boss, Lee Boyer. He's got two games left till he earns me my £85 for betting on him as the next permanent manager, because he needs to fall 10 games. He's done 8 now, so I'm nearly in the money. But yeah, he came out to speak to all of us after yesterday's game. This is how the caretaker boss reacted to that win down at Portsmouth.
I've just said to him I'm really proud of him to do what they've just done, to go to Shrewsbury on Tuesday night and put the effort and the commitment they did, and then to have this quick turnaround and come to Portsmouth, which is probably the most intimidating place to come in this division, and put in that effort and that fight, and their togetherness was outstanding. I think first half we dominated the game. First half should have, if we'd have been a bit more, took a bit more care in possession, we would have scored, should have scored 2, 3, 4 goals, I felt. So I was a bit disappointed, because I think we should have scored more goals, but the most important thing for me is that we kept another clean sheet, and their fight again, you know, like they're just a team, a squad of players that know what's at stake, and I've drummed it into them, like the reward is massive, you know, and it's in your hands. You have to fight for each other, for each of you. Lads that are coming off the bench, Mark Marshall putting in a shift like he did, little Jay De Silva, everybody's fighting for the same thing, and the togetherness that we have is remarkable, really, and it's just good to watch, you know. For me, I just love seeing it, and because I know they can play, but it's all the other side of the game, and that's the most important thing for me, and they're doing it very, very well.
Certainly it's a high pressure environment at the moment, but Charlton certainly looked the team that were much more settled in that first half.
Yeah, we broke on them maybe 10 times, and we just made the wrong decisions. So we was by far the better side first half. Second half, you're always going to expect them to come into it a bit. They're playing at home, they should do. They have their fans behind them, and they have some good players. They're not a bad team. First half, I think we just made them look just as not as good as what they actually are, because how well we played, and we pressed, and we won all the second balls, and we just didn't let them play at all. How many times did you see their players kick it out of play? That's from my players being their hard work. So it's not that they're bad players. But, yeah, the togetherness and the fight that we have is very, very pleasing for me.
And obviously, in terms of the playoff now, you've got a 4-point cushion, but there's still those games in hand. So you're still expecting it to go down to the wire?
Yeah, for sure it's going to go down to the last game. There's only 2 games left. We've got Blackburn at home next week. Blackburn a second, you know. All we seem to be doing is playing teams that are in and around us. The running's been tough, but the lads know what's at stake, and they know what they have to do to get into the playoffs.
A couple of setbacks today in terms of Tariq Fosu and Lewis Page going off injured. I mean, do you know at this moment in time the extent of those injuries?
Well, I know Tariq's done his hamstring, so I don't know how long it'll be, but he's done his hamstring, so he would be a big loss. And Lewis Page, I'm not too sure on him. I think something to do with his Achilles, but yeah, I don't know how long they'll be out for at all.
So first goal in a long time for Nicky Ajoje in a Charlton shirt, but he's deserved that for his performances over the last few weeks.
Yep, he's worked great for the team. It just never fell for him. I can't believe a ball added. That's his first chance he's actually had in front of goal in all the time I've started him. So I'm over the moon for him, because as a striker, all you want to do is score goals. And yeah, so I'm delighted that he got his chance, and one chance and he scores. That's why he was playing.
And you had to do it for 15 minutes on Tuesday at Shrewsbury, and perhaps the whole second half were put under pressure today, but again, stood up to it really well.
Yeah. And again, like, I keep coming back to it, and I keep saying it, and I repeat myself a lot to them as well, it's their togetherness. They're all putting their bodies on the line. We had 5 players come in training on Thursday with tight hamstrings from Tuesday night. Like, and they're all just turning themselves around and putting their body on the line time and time again. They're throwing themselves in front of things. Ben Amos, like, this is how determined, like, Ben the keeper and Josh are, like, clashing heads, you know? Like, it's, they're all fighting, and for me, it's a great thing to see.
It's a bit of a running joke amongst Charlton fans that they never seem to perform in front of large away followings when Charlton take a lot away, but I guess those fans who've travelled down today will have so much belief now going into the last couple of games.
Yeah, I wouldn't look too much into that. It's not how many you bring away, but what I would say is that they was outstanding today. The fans, was it 2,500? I think they filled that end and they did not stop singing for the whole 96 minutes or however long it was. So I was really grateful to them, because the lads need them, you know, and more so on Saturday. We're going to need them all to turn up on Saturday and get behind them, because it's, we've got two games to go, like I said, and the rewards are massive.
And Lee, you talk about that togetherness. Is that something you've worked on since you've taken charge?
It's just something that I demand. Yeah. Like, I've been in dressing rooms, a lot of dressing rooms, and you can't compete with that. If you have a togetherness and a team spirit, then that gives you something, an edge over the other side, for sure. For me, I've been in the dressing rooms and once you've got a togetherness and a fight, like, you will run that extra mile for your friend. If you see your friends out of position, then you will do that. If you don't have that togetherness, then they don't do that. You see everyone today, everyone's running around like mad to try and help their friends out. They're covering each other, they're fighting, someone's going in for a tackle, the other one's behind him, you know, like, that's what you need to be a winning, successful team. And that's what I've demanded from the minute I took over, and they've taken that on board, and I think you can tell by the performances. Maybe Plymouth was the only one that we didn't really compete, but again, that was down to tiredness, but that would be the only one that I would say that we wasn't ourselves.
You said after that scrunny defeat that you would need to win 3 out of 4 games. Does that mean you need to win one more now? You've got 2 wins.
No, that was just a wild guess. I still think we need to win both. Win both, and then whoever's in the playoffs, and they're thinking, wow, they've just won, what, 8 out of 10 coming into the playoffs. Once we're in the playoffs, there's no team that is in the playoffs that will beat us over 2 legs. I honestly believe that. And I've said that from the minute I've taken over. It's not that I'm disrespecting anybody. I just believe in my players and my squad of players. So I honestly believe that. And then obviously the final is what it is. But before that, we have to... Like, everybody writ us off because of how many games we wasn't doing so well. 5 points out of it, we was written off. But now, they've turned it around, you know, and that's just from fighting.
Have you made a decision yet on whether you fancy the job full-time?
I'm not even thinking of that. I'm just thinking of getting the side into the playoffs and then getting promotion. That's all I'm thinking, and that's all I want to do, is get that's my achievement.
Are you enjoying it more than you thought you would, or as much, or was it what you kind of expected?
I'm enjoying it, obviously, especially when you win.
Yeah,
but it is what it is. I knew I'd be able to do the job. It was just whether I wanted to do it, and now I've been thrown into it, then yeah, I'm enjoying every second.
So does that mean you won't think about that kind of stuff until the end of the season, once all the dust sort of settles on this one?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, for me, I have to get promotion for me. So then whatever happens will happen. It's out of my hands. All I'm thinking is, all I'm concentrating on is now. So now I start thinking about Saturday, and then once that's done, then I start thinking about the other Saturday. You know, like, it's, I'm not thinking too far in front, because I know that what we have to do is win games, and I'm not thinking of the future at all.
How much have you looked at Blackburn before now? Is it sort of later on tonight, weekend, that you kind of do a bit of a sort of check on what they're...
I won't do nothing tonight. No. By the time I get home, so I'll probably start watching them on Sunday. But when we played them at their place, I didn't think that they was that good. Obviously they've changed now, they've won a lot of games since then, so yeah, but they'll have strengths and they'll have weaknesses, like every team. We've got strengths, we've got weaknesses, so we'll be at home. All I ask is that our fans just come and support the lads, you know. That's our last home game of the season, or well, hopefully not, but the actual league games, and just come and get behind us, you know, because we need everybody to push us over the line.
At one stage before you took over, it looked like the season was just going to drip away, really, and end with nothing, ever away to nothing.
Yeah, especially with the running that we've had. Like, our running's been, it's hard, you know. Out of the 10 games, I think 6 of them have been above us. So, but it is what it is. Every game of football is difficult as you make it. But the lads know that they're in a good place, and they're a completely different animal from when I took over. Like I keep saying, their togetherness is unreal.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Really, you know?
To the centre circle, starting around the opposite way, he's got to his right hand side, Dijkstil, in a little bit of space, Dijkstil, chance to cross, gets the cross in, Gyro's there, just cleared away, but it'll drop to Page, might think of a shot here, Page takes it, into the
goal! What a goal from
Lewis Page! Lewis Page has been out of action for over a year, came back at Blackpool and only lasted a few minutes. He's first real touch of the game, sees him slam a shot into the top left hand corner. And
Charlton
had the lead.
So welcome back to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. On your Sunday evening, we just heard from the caretaker, Alex Boss, Lee Bowyer. Very proud, of course, of his charges yesterday after they won, to also follow up that win they had in midweek in Shrewsbury as well. I mean, what a job he's done. And could you have expected him to have done this job before he took over, having very little coaching experience?
No, I think I'd be lying if I expected this good. I mean, I expected a reaction. We're the sort of club that when someone like that, who's got that connection to the club, comes in, it lifts everybody. But look, I liked Cole, and I think over the year he did okay for us, but it had tailed off. I think that was obvious, and he'd lost a lot of the fans. Bowyer came in. Obviously, it helps with that, starting with such a massive win as he did. But when you hear about the way that he'd set up for that game and the tactical work he'd done, you know, that was okay down to his players, but down to him as well. And he's learning all the time. And he obviously wanted a reaction quicker after the loss to Scunthorpe and didn't get it away at Wimbledon. Oh, sorry, the other way around. After Wimbledon, didn't get it at home to Scunthorpe, but did then get the reaction at Shrewsbury. And okay, it took 2 games, but he's getting performances out of these players. And I don't think he's doing anything groundbreaking. He's studying the opposition. He's finding out where their weaknesses are. He's finding a formation to expose it. And he's making sure that every player gives everything they've got. And whilst they do that, then he's making it look very, very easy.
Interesting what you were saying about Nicky Ojose when I asked him about the goal that he scored and his performances over the last few weeks. Because he's very, you know, praising him. You know, one chance, one goal, he said. Talking about how he you know, how he worked so hard for the team. But I mean, you still remember the fact that they had that little bit of a Barney away at AFC Wimbledon. So they've obviously got over whatever that was. Or maybe it's just one of those things where Bowyer doesn't mind a player. He gives a little bit of chat back because it shows that he cares.
I think that's nailed on. I think what people shouldn't read too much into, especially at football, because, I mean, we've all played it. And you, if you can't, in a team, have a go at one of your other players without them immediately thinking it's personal and sulking, then it's not the environment for you. I mean, every player, I mean, I don't know, you call it testosterone, call it what you like. I mean, but every player wants to give their all, and every player's wound up for a football match. They should be, at least. And so what tends to be said on a football pitch shouldn't be then carried on afterwards. It should just be forgotten about as soon as you go back in. So having a row with somebody on a football pitch, your own team, mate, more often than not, is just forgotten about. And so people shouldn't read too much into it. And I think, after speaking to Josh yesterday, and that interview will come out later on, of course, but he said there's a refreshing honesty about Lee Bowyer. He'll tell you how it is, and not only will he tell you that if you're rubbish, he'll admit when he's been. So I mean, he said it yesterday as well in my interview, didn't not on yours, but on mine, where he said, I might have got that wrong. I think he was talking about Jaro particularly. You know, maybe he played Jaro one game too many, because he knew he had it in him because of what he'd done before, and perhaps looking back, he probably should have brought Josh back in the game sooner. And so he admits when he makes mistakes, and he admits he puts his hands up, and so he'll be honest, and when a player's playing badly, he'll tell him.
That's funny. I think I was calling for McGuinness to come back in a game sooner than he did, actually. I should be the caretaker
manager. Yes, there you go.
Terry, you learned over the years not to take it personally then when everyone was shouting at you.
Oh, it happens all the time.
Also, I mean, the confidence that that Lee Bowyer has always shown during his interview since he's taken over. Now, when he first joined, he's like, yeah, we'll be in the playoffs, no problem. And now he's saying there's not a team. He said it a couple of times this week. There's not a team that would beat us over two legs. I mean, do you think he genuinely believes that, or is that a bit of mind games, a bit of, you know, instilling some confidence into the team, into, you know, or, you know, trying to play, like I say, mind games with the opposition? Maybe
I think he genuinely believes it. The way he talks, he says, as you both said, he says it as it is. He's honest. He's open. He, as I've said a couple of times, he doesn't talk quite as long as Carl, but his point is the same. He just says what he sees. And he's very down to earth. He's just pretty much gets it back to basics, and I genuinely believe he thinks we'll get there.
I think these they're completely two different types of manager, and man manager at that, because I think Carl, I mean, I don't know because I was never in the dressing room, but Carl always struck me as somebody who wanted to be everybody's friend and wanted to be the player's friend and wanted to get them to play by being, you know, one of the boys and them respecting him and trusting what he says, which I'm sure works in certain players. Lee, on the other hand, I suspect wants players that run through brick walls. He tells it how it is, and tells them what they got to do. And if they don't do it, they don't play. that's probably too simplistic, but that's how I see it.
Now, finally, Richard asked him right at the end there whether he'd be tempted to stay on full time. Now, I mean, is it too soon for Charlton? I mean, obviously, with the ridiculously complicated takeover situation, you don't know who's going to be here, what's going to happen. But I mean, is it? I mean, if he got us promoted, for example, through the playoffs, or even if he got us to the playoffs, which is what he's been set out to do, I mean, would he have earned a full time role in a more normal situation with an owner who wasn't leaving or something?
It'll be, again, it's all up to the ownership, but I suspect if we don't have a change of ownership, then it's Lee Bowyer's, because that'll be the cheapest option anyway. So that's one. Secondly, if we do have new owners, at least he's asking a question of them. At least he's saying, well, this is what I can do. Can you get any better? Now, we are all of the opinion, I think, that, and most people are, that new owners come in, they want completely new regime in charge, team manager, coach and all that malarkey. But the way it's dragged on, whoever they might have wanted in charge might no longer be available.
Sir Alf Ramsey, apparently, but yeah.
There we are.
Yeah, that's how long this has gone on. I mean, Tom, do you think listening to him, do you think he actually quite fancies the job?
I think he does. I don't think he's admitted that yet, but I think he's enjoying it more than he makes out. I think my only reservation, and I don't want to put a negative on what's been such a brilliant week, it's a very different challenge to go into the start of a season, to sign players, to build your squad and manage over a season, than come in and do effectively a firefighting job for 7 or 8 games, which is what he's done. I'm not suggesting it's beyond him by any stretch, but it would be a very different job. You know, when Riga obviously came in, for example, and did so well at the end of that season, came back in again with slightly more time the next time, and it didn't really work out. So he's clearly got it in him. He's got that coaching ability, but it would be a different challenge. And with the ownership situation as it is, I don't think we can predict what's going to happen next season, but certainly for the next few games, he's the perfect man to have in there, because he's getting everything out of those players.
Yeah. Adam, do you think, from what you've heard from Lee Bowyer in those interviews, that he'd be tempted to, if he was offered a role as a manager, he'd be tempted to take it on?
Definitely.
Yeah?
Why not?
Yeah. I mean, you're untested, but in terms of a club to start practicing at, a club you've got an affiliation with the fans, you know, obviously Paoli came down here and did such a good job, having only done caretaker manager roles before. So I guess, you know, that link between the fans and the players, I mean, you must have been too young to have seen him play, actually. But
I saw Paoli play.
Yeah, no, sorry, Boya. Boya
play, not.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, you must have been too, but I mean, we still feel, because he is someone who's come up through our academy, and, you know, the likes of me and Tom have seen him play, and Terry would have... of course, seen him play as well. I mean, do you feel like there is that connection and that sort of helps?
Well, if he's come through the academy and things, he knows Charlton.
Yeah.
So why not give the Charlton fans slash player the job?
Yeah.
See how it goes.
Yeah. It makes sense. It's gone pretty well so far. Right, let's have a look at the tweets that have started coming in yesterday. John Agambar said, it was nice to beat a Kenny Jackett team. He normally outthinks our manager. Not today. Someone else tweeted me yesterday, I think, saying apparently that was the first time we'd beaten Jackett in about 7 games or something. I haven't checked that. But it's quite interesting because, like, I mean, we were all having a laugh in a press box after, actually, because we were right next to BBC Solent, who were doing a phone-in. And had a tweet in, and the presenter read it out so we could all hear it. And they had someone tweeting in saying, "We want Kenny Jackett out." I mean, that seemed like a bizarre tweet.
I mean, they got. I think that's the level of expectation, though, when you're at a club like Portsmouth, I suppose, and to a certain extent us as well. But Portsmouth won they got promoted. I don't know if they won. Did they win the division last season?
They weirdly won it on the last day, despite being third beforehand.
So they won the championship last season, got promoted, and started sort of mediocre, but they've been on a bit of a roll in March and April, and I think they won like 6 on the bounce. So you know, they had a belief themselves, I suppose. So I'm hoping that it's just a knee jerk reaction to realising they're not going to figure. But I think if you'd have given Portsmouth fans at the beginning of the season 8th place in the new division, they'd probably bitten your arm off.
Right, James Moynard says, asking the question, if Carlin is fit, can he come back and play in the playoffs for us? Now, I actually genuinely don't know the answer to that, because obviously his loan...
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, you assume his loan wouldn't finish.
It's a season-long loan, but we're not sure. But, I mean, technically, the season extends into the playoffs.
Mm.
So I think it's a season-long loan with no recall. So I think not.
Mm.
I'm prepared to be proven wrong, of course, but that's how I read it.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone out there has got a chance to look that up for us, let us know, but we think not. Right, Graham says they epitomise how Boya was as a player, talking about his players. He said he's clearly a player's manager and gets the right response. I think we should be doing all we can to get him the job full time. I mean, what do you think it is that, I mean, the link to the, what are you doing, Trey?
I'm sorry,
he's trying to help me set up Juventus-Napoli that I'm not watching while I concentrate on the show.
So, I mean, why is it that you think Boya seems to be so good with the players so far? Do you think it is because he's been there and he's done that?
I think there's a little bit of that. I think it could have gone either way, couldn't it? I mean, you've got, as I said before, he's obviously got this style which is, right, this is what I insist upon. The very minimum I expect from you is 100% full commitment. Run through brick walls for me, and I'm going to tell you how, if you have a bad game, I'm going to tell you have a bad game, you're going to be dropped. So that could go either way with players, and if you've got precious players, they're not going to want to. I think, for example, if we'd have still had some of the players that were forced upon us, shall we say, I think that would have gone down very badly. And so I think what people should give Cole Robinson credit for is bringing in some of the players that we've got now that will make a difference and have made a difference. So, and they've obviously reacted positively to Lee Boya. So I don't think he'd be every player's cup of tea. For example, you know, it's a bit like trying to compare, I don't know, Arsene Wenger with, I don't know, I'm trying to think of one now. Who's the Allardyce, that's it.
Yeah.
So two completely different styles. Yeah. So, and I think you've got to get the players that will appreciate your style of management.
Mm. Right, Jim says, I really can't remember an away day recently that was as fun, as exciting, that loud, or as important. Maybe Sheffield United in the Cups in terms of importance, but the atmosphere of Ole Roland and the last day of Powell meant no matter how many fans there, it was dead. So that's Jim tweeting in earlier. That's even before I even announced what the subject is for the second half. So later on in the show, we're going to know, you know, games where we've turned up in numbers as Charlton fans, and then the team have actually turned up on the pitch. Because we all know about Operation Ewood and, you know, Sheffield United in the FA Cup, as mentioned there. You know, we turn up in numbers and not actually perform. So, you know, we're trying to, but yesterday we did. in front of a lot of fans, a lot of very noisy fans. We want to think of games where it's gone well for us, even though we've taken big away followings. So tweet those into at Charlton Live. You can email us studio@charltonlive.co.uk as well, and there's a thread on the Charlton Live forum as well. Right, Bob Liske, good evening, guys. Well, what can I say? The atmosphere was up there with any Palace game we've had, Fulham and Man United Cup games away, and of course Wembley in 1998. Do you know what? I think we're going to do it. Playoffs, that is. I mean, it's incredible, like we say, the turnaround from this week, from last week to this, just in terms of how confident everyone feels. Because, I mean, there's two or three times I've written us off this season. Just before Robertson left after the Fleetwood game, and we'd lost at Blackpool as well. And then last week, in fairness, I think like I said on the Love Sports Show last week, there's still plenty of twists and turns in it. I was chatting to Crispy actually last Saturday night. We were at a party together, and I said, "I said there's still half a chance." And he said, "I was crazy." Mm. But, you know, I've been proven correct once again.
Yeah, as you said, you should be the manager, shouldn't you? I think, I've gone with the Blackpool and the Fleetwood results. I'd written us off. Then obviously with Boyer's three wins, I thought it was going to happen again. Then the two defeats, I'd written us off again, and now I'm confident we're going to get back in it again. So there has been plenty of twists and turns. Now, is that fickle football fan, or is that actually that's how crazy this league has been? Because it's so tight, you know, it's just every game, and even yesterday throughout the game we were obviously relying on that other result to go our way to see what the points difference was going to be. So it is just chopping and changing, but the feel-good factor around the club, particularly after the wins away and Shrewsbury and yesterday, were just, it's absolutely massive. And it has, and going into Blackburn on Saturday, they're not going to want to have to come here and play us, because we're a team in form. You know, the crowd's still not going to be massive, but I'd expect there's a few more that come through the door. And we've just got to make it as hostile an atmosphere as we can, because we've shown we can do it at away games now. I mean, the fans yesterday were one of the best I've ever seen in my time as a Charlton fan. And yeah, we need to make that home advantage count next weekend as well.
Red Chaser says, if Sir Ralph gets the gig over Boyer, it'll be the best comeback since Lazarus. Cabby 8 says, get the Pompey 2,500 in the North Lower on Saturday. Push the boys over the line. I mean, if you get that same group who made that racket down at Fratton Park yesterday into the North Lower, that'd be amazing.
As long as they don't take my seat.
Well, yeah, it's true. So you can sit. Well, you're doing commentary.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what Dan said. So please tell me Tom is commentating on Saturday.
After
your talisman Tom performances over the last couple of weeks. Right, Valley Floyd Fred said that we are entertaining him for the next 1.5 hours whilst he's at uni doing his dissertation. Much appreciated. I hope your dissertation goes well. Jack Bates, the best atmosphere at a Charlton game for a few years. Performance by the fans was matched by the team endeavour, fight and relentless passion. And that's pretty fair to say. Right, Sebo. Right, I'm probably going to get stick, but if we were that lucky team in this pack and we do go up, even though it'll be under Bo, for all the negative things some people have said about him since he left the club, I'd still feel we have to give Carl a great deal of credit.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair, honestly. I mean, but some of the players that we've brought in are down to Carl and the team that he had bringing the players in. So, you know, would we have had the likes of Fosu, Jake Forster-Kaski, Ben Reeves, who played outstanding yesterday, and the likelihood is no, we wouldn't have done. So these players are going to be the backbone of whatever success we have.
The start of the season still happened as well. Like, yeah, it tailed off over Christmas and towards the end, but the start of the season we were impressive. We were up in those top two or three places for a long time, and that goes down to the hard work of Carl as well. And just touching on Tell's point as well, as I looked through the programme on the way home yesterday, the average age of this squad, I mean, Jason Pearce and Johnny Jackson aside, who obviously bump it up both in their 30s, everyone else, there's so many 22, 21, 20-year-olds in this squad, and some of that's through the youth system, but a lot of that's down to some shrewd signings as well. So we've got, if we can keep these players together, we'd obviously need to strengthen significantly if we were to get promoted, but there's a good group there, a good core group of youngsters coming through.
Right, Tim Jackson, what an absolutely incredible day from a crowd point of view. The only thing close I can remember is Fulham in the Cup, League One winning season. Every player played with heart and passion and desire. Special shout out to Jake Forster-Kaski, who won everything and was truly immense. I mean, his performance on Tuesday as well, Tell Forster-Kaski in the midfield. I've picked him as one of my two players in the Portsmouth programme yesterday who stood out this season, him and Fosu.
Forster-Kaski, and I'm not exaggerating this, on Tuesday night up at Shrewsbury, I think there wasn't a blade of grass he didn't touch on that pitch. He was absolutely everywhere, and a phenomenal performance. And then to put in the same shift 4 days later. It's just, you know, it's awe-inspiring. And, you know, I'm honestly making no exaggeration here. Forster Gassi was my man of the match on Tuesday by a country mile, because he was throwing his body in the front of tackles. He was everywhere. He was breaking up play, and then he was launching the attacks that we were trying to make. You know, and then on, I don't think he was quite as flowing going forward on Saturday as he was on Tuesday, but he was still covering every inch of that pitch, trying to stop Portsmouth getting back into the game. You know, just the engine he seems to have developed over the last sort of 3 or 4 weeks has been outrageous.
Now Brian Cole will be a happy man this evening, of course, because he's lives down in Portsmouth. We got an email in from Paul Griffiths as well. He lives down there as well, so those two, I imagine, had a good evening yesterday. Absolutely. But Brian tweeted in saying, "Thanks, lads. That is all best away following I can remember being a part of." In terms of, I have a family tie at Portsmouth, which I sort of knew, but sort of wasn't expecting for it to come up. So yesterday I got to the ground about midday, like really early, and they weren't going to let me in. But then they radioed through to the head steward, who just so happened to be my second step cousin, who I haven't seen for about 15 years. And so they asked my name and said, "Right, you can go through because you're her cousin." Now, if she'd walked past me in the ground, I wouldn't have recognised her. And she may well have done so.
She's expecting flowers at the very minimum. You know,
so, but that was just really bizarre that either. So, you know, I don't know if it's worth me contacting her out of the blue for the first time in 15 years just to mock her about the result.
I would.
No. Yeah. But after she let you in, I wouldn't.
Maybe check the stewards at Wembley as well.
I think we ought to say that everybody at Portsmouth, even though we beat them, were so gracious, actually.
Yeah.
And even reading the tweets afterwards, everybody was saying that that's the best away following they've had down there all season, and we were one of the best sides they've seen down there all season. And fair credit to you, well done. You know, there wasn't. When the game was going on, when Lewis Page was walking off, he wasn't exactly getting a goodbye, see you soon, how are you type of response from her. But you'd expect that during the game.
Yeah.
But afterwards, I think even the stewards to us and everybody around there were all very gracious.
Yeah,
it was a nice day.
We went into one of the Pompey pubs after, and they were fine with us. Got caught in an absolute downpour.
Yeah, I know, didn't it? Yeah.
It was supposed to be sunny. A lot of people went up in shorts. Right, Craig Evans said, "Agree with Terry Shrewsbury. It was much more nerve-wracking than yesterday. Dealt with Portsmouth really well. Fantastic performance." Now, Jimmy Seed, who has put me through hell this morning on a 32-mile bike ride, says, "I think Lee Bowyer learned a lot from those defeats to Wimbledon and Scunthorpe. He showed the team that technical ability alone won't win matches. They're running themselves into the ground now." And you can't argue with that at all, really, can you?
Well, he said it a few times now. He said, "I know what they can do on the ball. It's off the ball. I want the game for them to show me what they can do," and they have been.
Now, Terry, you mentioned that the Portsmouth fans were very gracious about our support, and that Tim Jackson's copied us into a tweet here. And I saw this tweet yesterday, and it stood out because he's quite clearly being sarcastic.
All right.
But basically, so Tim said, "Not every day opposition fans appreciate our away support. Seeing so many tweets like this, testaments to the fans and to Charlton." There were a lot of fans genuinely praising us. But this one, sort of trying to take the mix, said, "Charlton had the best away fans in the entire history of football at Fratton Park today. Sounded like there were millions of them. Scenes like today have not been seen since the Wembley World Cup win. Fair play." And then he's put a little face. So he is taking the mic. But there was a lot of fans who were impressed by our support.
I think that just means he means every single word, but he doesn't want us to think he means it. That's all that means.
Double bluffing.
Right, Dan said, "I couldn't even watch the last 6 minutes. I sat in my chair and prayed."
Yeah, you and me both.
Yeah, see the save from Amos on the highlights from the free kick, a stunning save. Brian said the deflection was obvious from the away end for that free kick, as a world-class save from Amos. Charlton Exile said he was really looking forward to the Bowyer interview. Still could go either way for the playoffs, but I'm loving the whole change of atmosphere around the place. Now let's get rid of Roland and it's happy days around the corner. You forget we've still got that to come, haven't we?
Forgot about him.
Yeah, it's like Christmas and birthday coming within the same couple of weeks, isn't it? Right, Will Bolland's been tweeting us in the same thing pretty much every week. But he says, "Three simple words for the rest of the Charlton season: keep the faith." And he said that he's never deviated from that, even when the faith was wavering.
We had a follower on Valley Pass on a commentary of the tweets that come in, F. James. And he's been saying it for about
weeks,
3 months.
And weeks and weeks, yeah.
So fair play to him.
Yeah. Matthias says, "What a win yesterday. Glad to see a Jose scored. I'm looking forward to going to Rochdale on the last day of the season. Brandon, maybe we should go all out when we play Blackburn. Try and ride this high through what will be a tough game. And if we lose, at least we lose with some proper fight. Regardless, I'm so confident at the moment that we will make the playoff. Roger Trar said, it's our year. Like Spurs, their year is a one. Our year ends in eight. Gutted I wasn't there yesterday. Had a surprise party in Swindon. Well, I hope that was a decent one. Right, Sarah says, I will be going into work tomorrow, singing Valley Floyd Road. I work with Millwall and West Ham fans, but there's no Palace fans at work, so I see that as a positive. Chapman XL again tweets in saying, worth a mention. Of course it's worth a mention. Today was the London Marathon Day. In and around London, obviously go through Charlton as well. This time last year I went to watch it from the Rose of Denmark, which is a great place to watch the marathon. Like, they put a band on and stuff for some Charlton mates. But the legend that is the gaffer Chris Powell ran it today. I think it took him about 5.5 hours. Yeah, 5 hours 33 minutes to get around his first ever marathon. I mean, the heat to be doing that today.
Don't forget, he'd have run further than anybody else, because obviously as he goes past Charlton, he would have nipped left into Ransom Walk,
yeah,
gone to the vacancies board just to see if there was any, and then gone back out again.
Yeah, so congratulations to Pally and any other Charlton fans who did it.
He had some flattering earmuffs on when I saw him at Canary Wharf.
What was all that about?
Yeah, he had some sort of black ear. I don't know what they actually
stop,
were, but they
stopped
like
the sun getting at him.
Maybe, yeah.
No, headphones. Yeah,
but they were fluffy. They were a little bit fluffy. But he didn't have them on when he came past here.
Nothing wrong with fluffy headphones, Tom.
Is it not? Oh, okay.
Apparently.
So, yeah, so right. John said, I wish I was listening live right now. Oh, looking forward to the podcast on the way to work tomorrow morning. Again, he's attached. I'm going to retweet this. Another superb photo of yesterday. And then Lewis says, we are going up. That's all he says, which is excellent. Red and White says, I really hope that the fans that can't make Rochdale the club can do a beanbag for us. Your thoughts, please. I mean, they tend to wait. If it's a sellout, it's more likely to be a beanbag. But I don't really know what the rules are on that, so...
Would a beanbag? Well, no, apart from the atmosphere, of course, a beanbag would be great. But you can get all this stuff on the Football League now, can't you? Just sign up to Rochdale for a week.
Yeah, but you need to be out of the country or have a VPN to pretend you're out of the country.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, which is
seriously. Oh, okay.
Yeah, have to listen to you and Greg, won't they?
Yeah.
Or you and me.
Yeah. Right.
Don't tell Greg.
yeah, because Bob, this one's just saying, just look to plan the trip to Rochdale, but it is a 5:30 kickoff. It needs an overnight stay.
There's no trains coming back, apparently. No. I mean, what I'd like, who knows, but I'd like, if we get a positive result against Blackburn, then, and basically, look, if we win both our games, then we're in the playoffs. Mm. Regardless, we don't know what position we'll be, but we're in them. And the reason for that is because Scunthorpe and Plymouth have got to play each other. So even if they draw, or either of them win, If we win our two games, both of them can't catch us. One of them might, but both of them can't. So if we get a positive result against Blackburn, I'd like the club to look at coach travel. Because there's no other way fans are getting up there unless they're staying over.
Yeah, but at the same time, they might think about saving that for a playoff semi-final. I mean, that'd be good if they could do that, free coach travel, because I think likelihood is our away game, because we'll play home first, I think, is likely. So we'll either be on the Sunday... sort of afternoon, evening.
The only downside of that is who have we got left in the club to make that decision?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Can we make it?
Someone's made some decisions recently, like Lee Bowyer and stuff, so someone makes decisions. Because the playoff semi-final second leg is either going to be on a Sunday evening or a Wednesday evening, I think. So
is it evening Sunday or daytime Sunday? It's definitely an evening Sunday.
Well, it's afternoon evening, I think possibly. I might not be certain that, but it's definitely otherwise a Wednesday evening. It could be useful if they did coaches for that. Now, Jimmy Seed also tweeted again saying, if Charlton can get promoted, we can get you up Chalk Pit Lane, Luis Mendez. Now, me and Jim are both signed up to this ride to Amsterdam in the summer, and I obviously desperately need to get some sort of bike fitness up before we go out there, because 85 miles on the first day and something like 60 miles on the second day. So I went out on Friday, done 13 miles on my bike. I was like, yeah, that's not bad. Like, get me going. And then Jim said he'd take me out this morning. It took me up the side of Kilimanjaro at one point. I think including cycling to East Croydon from home, I'd done about 37 miles of cycling today, which I'm quite happy with. But it just got to a bit
you
where...
You don't look happy.
No, well, I'm in pain as well. But it got to a bit where I sort of said to Jim, like, look, I've done a good amount here. I need to go home now. So we cycled up to Oxted Station. And we're about 7 miles from Oxted train station. So I finally got there. I was like, excellent, right. And there was no trains. It was a replacement bus. They wouldn't let us on. So we looked at the nearest station was Wallingham. And in order to do that, you had to go up Kilimanjaro, or Chalk Pit Lane. I couldn't even walk up it when I gave
up.
It
would have been funnier than that if London Transport had a replacement bike service.
So I saw this big hill and I couldn't cycle up it. Started walking up it, gave up, went back to Oxford and got my other half to come and pick me up so I could go home in the car. But that was an absolute nightmare. But yeah, very pleased that Jimmy came out with me this morning. Now, we both need sponsorship. So if you look at Jimmy's Twitter page, @JamesMSeed, obviously he's Jimmy Seed's grandson. or mine. You can donate to either of us. We need to raise £1,000 each before we head out there. So that'd be really good. If you can, right? Albert Rossi is just saying, I think JJ, how good a job he is doing with Bowyer as well, because obviously I think JJ is working away in the background there, yeah. But he's inexperienced in himself, but he seems to be doing quite well.
Yeah,
as a team, they seem to be doing quite well. So I mean, nobody knows quite how much influence either has or more than the other. I suspect again, Johnny Jackson would have likely Bowyer have the respect of the players, no question about it, it's a team effort, of course. Mm. Lee Bowe's taken all the plaudits and possibly quite rightly so, but the coaching staff have all got something to do with it. Even the analysts, you know, researching the opposition and formulating a plan, it's all part of a team. So and it's just great to have that Charlton feel about the place again, isn't it? I mean, and that's got something to do with the fact that you've got Lee Bowyer and Johnny Jackson at the helm, because they are Charlton people.
Right, Super Clive on the Charlton Live Forum says, I've been boycotting since the Coventry protest game last season, but listening to Lee Bowyer, I'm tempted to come back to the Blackburn game. I'm in a quandary, which I'm sure there's many people out there in said quandary. Well, let's have a quick break. We've still got your emails to come here on Charlton Live, and also we're discussing the times we've taken a lot of away fans to an away game and not bottled it.
No, we're not nameless, we're not faceless, we were born for greatness!
It's a lovely spot. What a ball. And he picks out Reeves in space, crossing the halfway line, Reeves. Page up to, that's a lovely dummy by Jose. Gyro finds a Jose again. Chip ball in, looking for Fosu. Just too high, but it'll run to Aribo on the opposite side of the penalty area. Back into the box. Header! Yes! Oh, Gyro scores! Superb football from Johan. From one side to the other. Lovely cross from Aribo. Gyro header. 2-0 Johan.
Welcome back to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. Very shouty song that was that Glove Pup made for us, but I enjoyed it nonetheless.
Possibly because it was a very shouty commentary.
Yeah, maybe. Right, Charlton Soul, Deender saying, Charlton don't win games like that. Yesterday, we notoriously bottle it. Following the win yesterday, it made me feel for the first time that the playoffs weren't just a bonus at the end of the season to lift our spirits, but a genuine chance for us to get promoted. The squad we have now is a top two quality team that only got a chance 5 weeks ago. The atmosphere yesterday in the away end needs to be the standard for the rest of the season. And I think I'd agree with that. The atmosphere was absolutely superb. Right, Chris Davin. I haven't seen an email from Chris Davin with the subject line woohoo for a long time. So I'm glad that Chris is enjoying it. It says, great win for the boys' playoff dream that was dead when Robinson left is still very much alive. Whatever happens here, from here on in, Bowyer has done a great job. As I've said all along, the team is good enough, the manager wasn't. If Bowyer doesn't get the job for next season, he will certainly be sought after elsewhere. How bench warmer Holmes must regret leaving to play at a higher level. Don't think training with Championship players but never getting a game counts, to be honest. Bring on Blackburn, the home of Eki Thump. Yeah, interesting point. I think someone mentioned Ricky Holmes to me yesterday as well, and we suddenly thought, like, God, I forgot he even played for us, because it seems so much water's gone under the bridge since then. But it's amazing, really, how we've got on. We haven't really missed Ricky Holmes, have we?
I heard they were selling him.
Oh, really? Already?
Yeah, I heard they're going to ship him off.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, because he's hardly played, has he? Yeah.
Stop even being there, really.
And do you think we've missed him?
No.
I mean,
do you know? I had this conversation. I put the question actually to the media boys about if we'd have kept Ricky Holmes in January, would we now be a lot closer, either confirmed in the playoffs or a lot closer to the top two? There was mixed opinions. Some said no, it wouldn't have made no difference. But I'm still not. There are games that tight games, and I think that we've either lost or drawn where we haven't been able to open teams up, and you just need that free kick, or you just need that something out of nothing. And Ricky Holmes would always do that.
Yeah.
So I'm not so sure. I think you don't lose your best players, and it's a benefit to you. And he was our best player up to that point, no question. So as much as you know, I think it was a wrong move, I could sort of understand why he did it if he was playing. But and I'm sure he thought he would be.
Yeah.
Nobody goes, not initially Scott Parker. Do you go and deliberately sit on a bench? Mm. I'm of the opinion I think we'd be better off if he was still here. Yes.
Mm. Right. Super Clive mentioned it on the forum, talking about he was in a quandary about next week. Now, I forgot to mention that. See, I was on a train back with a couple of lads yesterday who I met. We had to change at Chichester, and I got chatting to them, Charlton fans. Martin and Simon. And Martin's in a bit of a quandary as well, because he's getting married next Sunday. And he's been told he's got to help do some setting up stuff on a Saturday, but he really wants to go to the
really?
Blackburn game. Yeah,
I don't see that as a quandary at all. I mean,
should he call the wedding off?
Well, yeah. I think they. Surely he could pull a hamstring or something, can't he?
Yeah. So yeah, hopefully, Martin, you'll find a way of watching the game next week if possible. But good luck to you for your wedding, of course. Right, Dan Farmer, what a special day that was yesterday on and off the pitch. The players stood up and were counted, and that's what we've been asking for. The supporters were outstanding. It was a privilege to be part of it. Every single player played for the shirt yesterday, and I, for one, are so proud of the club, and I haven't said that much over the last few years. Big game Saturday, need a packed valley. Another thing as well, it was so good to see the Pompey fans praising us as a fan base after the game, saying that we were the noisiest fans to come to Fratton in years, and we deserved the 3 points. Cheers, guys. Roll on Blackburn. Cheers for that, Dan. That's a good email. And he's right about it. Like I say, it is so nice to see the Charlton fans praised by the home support, and they were so loud. Because there's been a few times where, like, because obviously I've been in away ends myself as well, and I thought, oh, we sounded quite loud there. But you think, oh, actually, how did it sound elsewhere? Yeah. And you know, the amount of times where I've got back on a train with my mates who've all been in the away ends, and they're like, we never stopped singing. And I have to be like, I don't want to be funny, mate, but I didn't hear you guys where we were sat in the home end. But yesterday, someone tweeted me after the game saying, how did it sound? Obviously, it sounded so good. It looked so good as well. I mean, I know people talk about the smoke bombs and that, but I mean, just the whole thing looked so good. And it looked so exciting yesterday.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Absolutely unbelievable. It made the hair stand up on the back of my arm. It was unreal.
Yeah. No question. There was one point, I was interviewing Lee Bowyer, a good while after the game had finished, and they were still singing.
Yeah,
they couldn't get rid of them. They were still singing their heads off at in the away end. It was great.
Right, back into the. Summer just tweeted in saying, "I understand why Ricky Holmes left for himself, but I would prefer it if he was still here at the club." Albert Rossi says Ricky Holmes is a bit like Diego Poyet, the grass is not always greener on the other side, which is probably a fair point. Right, Paul Griffiths, who also lives down in Portsmouth as well, says, wow, what an amazing day yesterday was. As my local game, it had the feel of a derby about it for me, especially as most of my team at the museum where he works are Portsmouth fans. Therefore, with our normal derby performances normally being dreadful, especially against another team in blue, I was less than confident on the short trip to Fratton Park. But how wrong I was. The whole day was wonderful. I'm sure you've already talked about this before you got into the email, but the atmosphere in the away end had to be one of the greatest ever, and in my 35 years of watching Charlton, I can think of few better than yesterday. Perhaps a cliche, but it certainly felt like the players fed off the away crowds non-stop singing. To a man, every player was immense yesterday. Exceptionally hard to pick a man in the match, but special words to our two centre halves, who were awesome all game. Amos continues to impress me and was so calm yesterday, and pulled off what it looked like from the other side to be a wonder save. Ben Reeves never stopped running, and Jake Forster-Caskey must have covered every blade of grass, as you said there earlier on. So the last two games have certainly turned our season around, and typically Charlton have not been easy, but not sure if I'm more nervous listening to Terry and Tom's excellent commentary on Tuesday night. Saying amazing how much it's amazing how much of a bottle of wine you get through when nervous. yesterday at Pompey.
That's an idea for
that'll calm me down.
Yesterday at Pompey, every minute felt like an hour. I know the reasons are very much respect those boycotting, but please come back next week. We need the valley as full as possible to make as much noise as possible if we are to beat Blackburn and get that one step nearer to the playoffs. Thanks as ever for us for our work on Charlton Live. Cheers for that, Paul. He's the head of operations down at the Mary Rose Museum in Portsmouth. So I don't know if anyone managed to get down there actually yesterday before the game, but that would be an interesting place to visit if you're down on in Portsmouth on the south coast. I don't know, you've never been there. Did you sail on the Mary Rose Tail?
I was a bit too young.
Yeah.
They won't let me on it.
Right, this one is from Masquerade. One says, with everything that's happening on and off field this season, if we actually end up making the playoffs, it should be viewed as nothing short of a miracle. That's true when you think about it. Now appears to be a case of three sides battling out for two spots, with us in pole position thanks to yesterday's win. Who'd have thought that several weeks ago before Lee Bowyer took charge? And it's easy to forget how down in the dumps we were after that Blackpool game and that Fleetwood game, Robinson's two games, you know, when we knew he was trying to quit as well. And
isn't it typical Charlton though? And you know, Lee Bowyer, just before Lee Bowyer takes over, we're already resigned, me especially, and after that, after the Blackpool game, I promise you, I said to people that it's our season's done now. Because the not just because we lost or the performance, it's just the general demeanour of the players just looked like that's it. They'd gone on holiday, it was done.
Yeah.
And then Lee Bowyer takes over and we go on that 4-game run unbeaten and you think, whoa, we're back in it. And then we had that 2-game run of Wimbledon and Scunny. Oh, here we go. No, that's it. It was a 4-game wonder. We've blown it again. And then the last two games happened. So it's just typical Charlton. It's always a roller coaster. And enjoy the ride.
Right, Kets has done the groundwork for us. He always knows about this sort of stuff. He says, I can confirm. Oh, he said, great day yesterday, first of all. He said, I can confirm 100% that Terry is right. Cad cannot play in the playoffs. So cheers for that, Chris, for checking this one out for us. Now, finally, Mark Newbury, who I knew he was going to mention this. I was thinking about this earlier because he came very close with his cashy back, didn't he? Because he said 1-0 on McGuinness. So he said, right score, wrong score. Evening, chat. So I had the right score, but the wrong score. A chuff for the players and the fans who travelled for the effort put in yesterday. I'll take the injuries with a grain of salt, as each week it's said that players are out only for them to turn up either in the team or on the bench. If Fosu is out, then Marshy should be champing at the bit and there are options elsewhere. I know you're going to Blackburn in more detail on Thursday, but maybe get Konza to man-mark Bradley Dack all game like Keith Jones used to do in the team. Nothing else, just cling like a limpet and then we have a good chance. He said he's a then he just puts the end happy bunny today. I don't know if that's what he is or if that's what he's cooked.
He's cooked. Yeah. Well, not so happy then. Yeah. Not for the bunny anyway.
No, well, not anymore. Right, let's have a quick break. For 7 or 8 minutes left to go. We've still got plenty of stuff because we want to look ahead perhaps to the rest of the season, but also want to talk about bigger away followings we've taken and then not bottled it.
Great work from Tariq Fosu. Now it's Forster Caskey over here on this near side to take the corner. Swings it in. It's gone deep. Bowers at the far post. Gets ahead of there. Oh, it's in! Patrick Bauer heads the ball down.
Come on!
Beyond Ian Lawler and into the back of the net for Charlton's opener.
Oh, I can't believe that went in, Terry Smith. The ball came in for Forster Caskey at the back post. Bauer's able to beat his man. He just heads it down on the ground almost.
Now, yesterday down at Fratton Park was one of those glorious occasions where we take loads and loads of away fans to a game, but don't actually bottle it. Because with the amount of Operation Riversides and Operation Ewoods that we've had, and all these, it hurts you right here, doesn't it, Tell?
It just gives me a headache every time I hear Operation something.
And even the board game Operation, I've stopped playing that these days. The amount of times we've all gone up, expectation, loads of us gone, and it's just turned out to be a horrible occasion. But yesterday was not one of those. We're all saying it in the build-up, it will be, because that's the way it goes, but it wasn't. So I asked for some examples of some other ones. Tim Jackson said that Orient away on our first away match in League One under Parky, it was 3,500 of us, which was half the crowd in the stadium. We were losing with 15 to go before a magical volley from Jonjo Selvey and a 30-yard lob from Dion Burton. We won 2-1 in incredible. I remember that because I have a really dodgy shoulder and I popped it out celebrating one of the goals. It went back in. It was fine. And we held on to the 3 points, which was more important. Kevin Kraut says, away to Port Vale, we won 1-0. Mendonca penalty, club laid on three coaches. Now, so I remember that was quite, I think it might have been a late-ish penalty that was on the way to the playoffs that season. Daniel Davenport mentions Palace away with Dennis in the last minute. Now, so I don't think we took as many as we possibly could that day, because I'm sure they really ripped us off for tickets. So I remember I was working at Sainsbury's in Bromley at the time, snuck out a couple of hours early to watch it in the pub. I didn't know it at the time, but I found out as I celebrated incredibly loudly in the 93rd minute. There's quite a Palace pub, that one. So I left quite quickly after that. And then Dan quite rightly points Wembley 98, there was 40,000 of us. It was 35,000 fans of us for that one as well. So I mean, can you guys think of games where we haven't bottled it in front of big away crowds?
We had a back in the day, and going back a long way, I think Palace at home. So, Palace away as well, possibly the same season where we filled up the away end and actually beat them. But that was
The Kitson one. We had the entire half awaits then.
You have the Millwall away when Mortimer in the snow. I think we all turned up for that one, and that was. But They are. I mean, there was. I think there's one Bournemouth away in that League One season where we were absolute garbage for the whole game and won it 1-0.
Yeah, we scored a lot. I think Jan scored a header right at the end, didn't we? Yeah, and we had fans on both sides. So it is actually possible for us. I mean, I'll put it on the forum as well. CFC Nick mentioned the 2-1 win at Sheffield Wednesday in the FA Cup. I think it ended up being a Monday night or a Tuesday Monday night. We ended up taking well over 1,000 though. Then we won that one as well. Dave Memmott also mentioned that Port Vale game. Blackpool 72 says we often do quite well at Welling in pre-season and take about 2,000 there, which is true. Addicted said that we had a 1-0 win away at Huddersfield in November 1980 where we had quite a few big crowds there. and then Aston Villa 4-3 win in 1999 took a hell of a lot of fans up to that one as well. So some good examples of us not bottling it, which is always nice to remember, which is good to see. In fact, Rothko's just pointed out saying Palace in 2000, which was the Kitson win, and said Palace for the Todorov winner, and he said Brentford in the 100 point season as well, which is Bradley Wright Phillips. Right, end of the season's coming up, we've got two games left to play, the teams below us. So you've got Scunthorpe have got one game in hand on us, Plymouth have got two, but they play each other, so one of Scunthorpe's game in hand is one of Plymouth's games in hand, so they can't, from that game in specifically, they can't both overtake us.
I've worked it out for you, right,
Terry?
If we win both our games, right, then we will be on 74. So I mean, the whole point is you want it in your hands, right? If we win both our games, we're on 74 points. Scunthorpe and Plymouth, Scunthorpe have got three games left, but one of those is against Plymouth. So let's say they take maximum. Let's just argue and they take maximum. That'll be 9 points. That puts them on 76, which means they're above us, right? But if they take maximum, it means Plymouth can't because one of those games is at Plymouth. So Plymouth, with four games left, can only get 9 points, which puts them on 73, which is below us. If you take their Plymouth-Scunthorpe as a draw, then, again, they can't catch us.
So what we're effectively saying is we're already in the playoffs.
We've got to win both our games to absolutely confirm it.
Easy.
But with League One as is League One, I mean, who would have thought Plymouth would have lost to Northampton yesterday? So who knows? Rochdale have got something to play for, could do us a favour. I think Rotherham less so, because Rotherham are already in the playoffs, almost certain of staying in fourth. They can't go up, they can't go down. So I think they'd probably be saving players, Rotherham.
If, I mean, just very quickly then, the three of you, ask you quickly, one-word answer, who do you want in the playoffs? Because Lebo, I mean, it doesn't matter, because Lebo knows we're going to beat anyone, but who do you want in the playoffs, semi-finals?
Rotherham.
Rotherham, and mainly for me and Greg to go out there and meet our best friends.
Oh, yeah, the one who hoped you had an accident That's on the way one. Home.
Looking forward to
Rotherham.
Rotherham as well. So, what did you say, Tom? You said Rotherham. Right, so, we all want Rotherham. So, we're definitely going to get Rotherham now and lose. And that's all three of you, that's your fault. Right, we've come pretty much to the end of tonight's Cheltenham Live. It's flown by once again because everyone's in a good mood. And we've got plenty of tweets and emails in celebrating that good mood. Once again, just a massive congratulations to the supporters down at Fratton Park yesterday. You really made it. I mean, it's a great atmosphere from both sets of fans. Portsmouth fans are known for it. At home, and Charlton fans really added to that, and they really spurred on the team. And as Lee Bowyer said, the players want you there at the Valley. So if you want to be there, then you know get there, support the lads. If we can beat Blackburn, then that will surely be pretty much it, as far as I'm concerned. So let's get as many people down there as possible to watch that game. Right, this has been Charlton Live. I've been Louis Mendes. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget tomorrow night, Love Sport Radio, 9 o'clock. Tom and Nathan are going to be there. You can phone into that show. You can ring up and tell them how much you love Lee Bowyer and that sort of stuff. We'll tweet all the details tomorrow evening. Right, Tom, thanks for coming in.
Cheers, Louis.
Terry, thanks for joining us this evening.
Cheers, thanks, everyone.
And Adam, I hope you enjoyed your work experience.
Yeah, cheers.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. Right, I've been Louis Mendes. This has been Charlton Live. Thanks for all your emails and your tweets. Don't forget Love Sport Radio tomorrow night. And then we'll be back here on Maritime on Thursday with the big match preview. And it's a big, big, big match preview. Let's hope there's three more points to come next Saturday. Three more points the Saturday after. Play our semi-final wins. Play our final win. Then we're in the championship.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.